Good evening, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here, WAU 540 AM and 101.1 FM, every Monday night at 7 o'clock. You know, we've always talked about democracy and how do we keep democracy going forward tonight. And before I introduce to you my, great guest, Democratic Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer, I just wanted to remind folks, if you haven't thought about it already, right, today is September 11th, 9/11. It's a day that I will never, ever forget. I was sitting in Milwaukee and woke up and having breakfast and happened to turn on the TV and I saw that second jet hit that second tower. And I knew that the world as I knew it had completely and would always be changed. And first thing I did was I got on the phone and called my daughter, who was out on the West Coast going to school, and I said, hey, you got to turn on your TV. We're really under attack. I thought that kind of terrorist attack would really create problems for democracy. And I was really thought there would be this reaction at home. And, you know, we got through that together as a people and as a state. And it, to me, it's ironic that for a country that withstood that kind of attack, at the center of New York City, you know, like the gem of the United States. Frankly, look, folks, if you you don't like liberals, whatever, but you got to love New York City. I mean, that is, you know, in many ways, the center of the United States. And I know here we're sitting in Wisconsin and it's, they call us flyover country, but we're not. And so, Greta, we have the Democratic Assembly Minority Leader, Greta Neubauer, here. On this day, how do you see, right, the threats to democracy right here in Wisconsin? And what do we need to do? And thanks for being here.
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me, and thank you to you and, of course, the whole team here who is always working hard to make sure that democracy is in the minds of your listeners. So we have a really serious situation on our hands here in Wisconsin. For the past several weeks, we have heard Republican legislators, and particularly Speaker Robin Voss in the State Assembly, threaten that they are going to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz, depending on her actions in the next couple of days or weeks on recusal on the legislative maps case. And this is really, really serious. You know, someone who's watching from afar may not understand just how unprecedented it would be for legislators in another branch of government to attempt to essentially nullify the results of the April election. Those over a million people who voted for Justice Janet Protasiewicz, you know, really take the impact of their vote away by making it such that Justice Janet could not serve on a single case, right? She has yet to serve on a single case here in the Supreme Court. So we are, of course, doing everything we can to make sure that folks understand the seriousness of this situation. I'm sure we'll spend quite a while talking about this tonight, Mark. And you know, there's a lot of ins and outs, a lot of questions, because it is so, we are in such uncharted territory. The last impeachment in Wisconsin was in the 1850s. They did not go forward with impeachment. They just started the process. And, you know, a lot of crazy things have happened in Wisconsin in the last couple of years. We've seen changes to election laws. We've seen gerrymandered maps put in place. We have seen efforts to overturn the 2020 election. This is an extreme escalation of Republican strategy here in Wisconsin to insulate themselves from the will of the people and influence democracy in a really profound way.
Yeah, thank you for sort of teeing it up like that. You know, Justice Protasiewicz was won by 11 points. Those are just huge numbers in elections in Wisconsin. You know, when you, it's not like a few thousand. She won the state hands down, and she ran it on, she ran a race on the basis of saying, I'm going to look at the facts and I'm going to decide issues based on values. And, she did say that she thought the maps were rigged, right? And I think that's one of the arguments I hear from the far right as to why, there's some reason. But, I think you pointed out there had been a federal case by judges, Republican-appointed judges, some of them, that had held that the maps in Wisconsin were not only gerrymandered or rigged, they said they were unconstitutional. So to the extent that Justice Protasiewicz as a candidate commented on those facts, I mean, that's just the truth.
Right.
And the idea that you bring up, which is really, really startling, and that's why I teed it up, right? What democracy at stake? We had terrorists at our doors at 9/11 and 01. And right now in Wisconsin, we have a leader, right, Mr. Voss, threatening to essentially throw out an election that the ink is barely dry on.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you hear from your constituents and people around the state on this?
Yeah, well, I understand today, as it's September 11th, just noting both these days, of course, we're talking about things that are really different and on a different scale here. So don't want to make any equivalency there. But I will say that, when you live in Wisconsin, you come to understand that that Republicans here are a special kind of leader, right? Again, we just see folks in office right now in the Republican Party who, even considering the idea that you would impeach a justice because you do not agree with her values, right, and with some of the things that she said on the campaign trail, is just unprecedented, and it really undermines our whole system of government. We have seen conservative justices weigh in on issues, right? We have said they have made clear their positions on the Second Amendment, right, on abortion. We have seen conservative justices on this court receive funds from the Republican Party of Wisconsin, right? So nothing that is happening in this moment is different than what's happened over the last several years on the other side of the court. However, all of a sudden, because Republicans realize that they could now have a court that will fairly try the gerrymandered maps, they are looking for any possible excuse, right? Any possible excuse to try to remove Justice Protasiewicz. And I know that the people of Wisconsin are not going to put up with it, right? We are hearing from a whole lot of people who are already weighing in. We're making it really clear that they are just simply not going to accept Republicans in the legislature nullifying the results of the last election.
I have seen social media ads by Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party statewide, right? On the whole issue of what we need to do, and asking people to write, contact, email, text their representatives, sitting in your chair as a minority leader, talking to Voss, do you see that as an effective means of really getting out the vote, or getting, not getting out the vote, but drawing attention to the issue? Is it working?
Yeah, you know, I certainly understand, really, because of the gerrymander in particular in Wisconsin, how often people become frustrated when they feel like they're reaching out time and again. You know, they are with the majority of people in Wisconsin on an issue, and still there's no response from the legislature, right? Republicans refusing to take up issue after issue, even though the people of Wisconsin are really demanding action. I do think that this is a really particular circumstance. And what I have seen is that Republicans in the assembly are nervous, right? When they are getting contact after contact from people in their districts, but also around the state, and I believe around the country, what we are seeing is Republicans recognize that they are about to cross a line if they go forward with impeachment that they cannot walk back. And we have already seen a couple of Republican legislators come out and say that they do not intend to vote for impeachment. And I think all of these contacts are putting more and more pressure on the remainder of the Assembly and Senate to come out and make their position clear and try to talk to their leadership and, you know, convince Robin Voss that it is simply not the right thing to do and going to have really serious consequences for them if they do take up impeachment.
You know, this notion that a handful of legislators can undo a statewide election, I mean, to me, it seems like it's pretty, pretty disturbing. So what steps need to be taken over and above contacting people to say, you know, reject Voss? And yeah, I asked this bluntly. I served on the Wisconsin Election Commission with Dean Knutson, who was a conservative, who helped create the Election Commission when he served as a representative. And he was thrown off the commission by Republicans to the right of him because he told the truth that Donald Trump lost the election in 2020. So with just that, throwing in that out there, Greta, we'll be right back to take this up, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. I am here with the Democratic Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer. This is your Paul Revere Show. We will be back to talk about how to go forward. Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here with Democrat Assembly Minority Leader Greta Neubauer giving us the latest on, the state of democracy in Wisconsin. And, we're talking about the attempt to impeach a sitting justice, from all reasons out there, it's simply to protect their own gerrymandered seats. We were talking about Dean Knutson, a former assembly rep who helped create the Wisconsin Election Commission, and how he was run off the Election Commission for simply telling the truth that Donald Trump lost in 2020. How do you see this idea of fair maps and sort of the election lies, are they related in any way?
I think they are. You know, what we have seen here in Wisconsin is that when Republicans lose or they fear losing, they try to change the rules to insulate themselves from the voters and from the will of the people. And what happened in 2020 and all of the stories, the misinformation spiraling around since, I think leads some people to believe that the rules just don't apply to them, right? That breaking precedent in this way, again, by even just proposing the idea that you would impeach a justice as a member of the Assembly Republican Caucus said, you know, really for political reasons here, is just so breaking the norms. And I think what we have seen from Republicans over the last couple of years is really desperation, that they see that they're becoming more and more out of touch and out of step with the people of our state. And they are resorting to changing the rules in order to try to hold on to their power, to restrict reproductive rights, and to protect these illegitimate majorities.
You know, you touched on reproductive rights. You know, that's clearly has to be in the minds of Speaker Voss and those to the right. You know, and I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, one of the main issues that impacted people were, right, was the, the abolition of Roe and its impact in Wisconsin, leaving women and not just women, doctors, physicians, husbands, boyfriends, all living in a world where we're looking at a law that was passed before women could vote on, this whole abortion rights issue. They're not saying much about that issue, it seems to me. How do you see that playing out? How is it that you as the leader, you know, the Assembly Dems, how do we go get young people, women, to see through this facade and, you know, get out and support the court and fight this kind of unconstitutional attempts to impeach someone?
From what I've seen, people do understand that. You know, we saw incredible turnout in the spring election. And as we said, this margin, overwhelming numbers of people voting for Justice Protasiewicz, an 11-point victory in the spring. We, of course, saw people showing up to vote last fall because of abortion rights and the fact that many people in Wisconsin, you know, no longer have access to reproductive health care. I think are already seeing that. And as people learn about these impeachment threats, I think it's very clear to them what Republicans are after. You know, as someone who was involved in the campaign last year in November, we saw Republicans really struggling, right, with how to address this issue because they know that the people of Wisconsin do not agree with them, right? And once again here, they're not willing to soften, right? They're not willing to recognize that they are not aligned with the majority in the state. They are digging in their heels and they are looking for escape valves. And those escape valves are changing the rules of our democracy, right? And trying to influence elections in a way that I think most of us would find to be unfair, right? Be wrong. So I think we're just going to see more and more of that. And as people come to understand, it's not just about democracy here. It's not just about gerrymandering. It's not just about, Republicans insulating themselves from a fair court. It is very much a question of whether or not we're going to have a court that is tied at 3-3, right? Or we are going to have a court that is fully functioning, where a duly elected Justice Janet, is able to serve her term, and where they are able to hear challenges to, the laws that restrict reproductive rights in Wisconsin.
So right now, what do you say to people? And in particular, I think, you know, how do we get to young people, you know, to rally them around these issues? You know, you came out and you voted for Justice Janet. And now we got, I call him King Voss. I know you can't because you're, but as a radio host show, I can certainly, he doesn't act like an elected official. That's why I say that, right? I mean, this is the Paul Revere show. It was designed, right? Our call, our democracy was to let people speak. And we have Mr. Voss out here trying to undermine the public. What can they do? We got 30 seconds. What do people do?
Yeah. make sure that you are, again, reaching out to your elected officials, that you are making your voice heard in this process. If and when we hear that there's going to be any actions on impeachment in the Capitol, hearings, otherwise, of course, would encourage folks to show up. If you know that your elected official has a listening session coming up, right? Please show up to that and make sure that they hear from you. Again, the public pressure really does matter right now. And so would focus your energies there and do everything you can to get out the word with your friends and neighbors as well. Op-eds, social media, writing an email to your blog.
Thank you.
Really important.
Retta, thank you for rallying us. I appreciate it. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night on WAUK 540 AM and 101.1 FM. We are always thinking and talking about how to keep Wisconsin moving forward. The first half, I had a partisan guest, Retta Neubauer, young leader of the Democratic Party, and I am really, really privileged and honored to have with us for the second half, Deborah Cronmiller, the Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. This is a nonpartisan organization, and so I'm trying to bring you, my listeners, a view from a nonpartisan point of view. So welcome, Deborah. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be invited. So,
I think me just being involved in elections, I hear from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin routinely, but I know a lot of my friends, a lot of people don't know the details and the workings of the league. So maybe just give us an overview or a reminder of, who the league is and what's their goal and mission.
Sure. The league was established 103 years ago, just after the passage of the suffrage amendment. And the pivot at that time for the leaders who had been involved with the movement was to go beyond getting the right to vote for women, but to actually help women execute that job. How do you vote? Where do you vote? When do you vote? Because as folks who weren't allowed in the polling places, prior to that time, they needed that information. And over the past 103 years, we stay pretty true to that mission. I mean, we are defenders of democracy, we are empowerers of voters, and we do that in many different ways. But across the nation, what the league is really committed to is being a nonpartisan political organization. So we hold political positions, we take issues advocacy very seriously, which is why you heard us at the WEC meetings. And it's important that we are having our voice heard, and that which we believe as an organization are formed positions through a consensus process over all these years, that we're sharing those positions with our elected officials, with organizations that are policymakers, and the purpose of all of this is just to ensure that every voter feels empowered, has the information they need to participate in our democracy, understands the how-tos of participating, how to use an absentee ballot, how to register on My Vote, all of the steps that one has to take, and especially important for a new voter, a naturalized voter, a young person turning 18, able to vote for the first time. Voting is not intuitive. You have to learn how to do it. You have to know where to go. And most importantly, you have to be able to have the information available to you about the candidates so that when you get to the polling place, when you fill out that absentee ballot, you have made up your mind according to your values and your beliefs, who aligns best to represent you in our democracy?
You know, I think you make a really, really important point. You know, I've been voting for a long time, but my parents, you know, took me along with them when they were voting, you know, before I could vote. And it was sort of, I was taught that voting is, you know, a responsibility and a habit that you have to just learn to be a responsible citizen, because you got to weigh in, right?
That's right. And I just share with you that many League members voted with their parents, and many of us took our kids to vote. It is developing a lifelong habit, and it's developing the commitment to you as a citizen participating in your democracy, not letting democracy happen to you, but you are part of democracy when you exercise your right to vote every single election.
I did note, and I want to touch on this, you know, I see that you are the chair of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition.
Yes.
So what is the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, and how is it that the League is working in that coalition, and what are the goals of that coalition?
Sure. Well, the coalition and the League align on our commitment to the ensuring that Wisconsin has fair maps, that we have representative government for all, that we embrace an independent and nonpartisan redistricting process, that we build a truly fair and accountable judiciary, and that everyone has equal access to voting and access to education and access to be engaged in our democracy. And that is, as you heard from my description of the League, we're very, aligned in our two missions in making sure that we work. The League of Women Voters has a very strong Fair Maps position. Coming up to the 2020 recensus, or the census process, the League actually had a national organization mobilized that included members like me from around the country that were a part of what we called the People Powered Fair Maps Initiative. And while this People Powered Fair Maps Initiative of the League was forming, we were just at the, a little later came the Fair Maps Coalition in 2017. They really solidified. And so it's been a parallel path for all these years. For us, the Fair Maps, impartial judiciary, are all just parts of a working government. You can't have representative government if you don't have election officials, elected people who are taking their job seriously to represent their own constituents. What we've seen since the census in 2010 and the redistricting process that occurred at that time, a redistricting process that occurred in kind of behind the scenes. Even the maps that were drawn at that time were only shared with the elected officials, but only their own map. So you couldn't even see the whole state map. And what we want to do, and what we are committed to, both in the League and in the Fair Maps Coalition, is a transparency in the process of drawing maps. There are a lot of educational institutions that have created very sophisticated algorithms on how to create fairness in maps, not based on partisanship, but on demographics of a community. And now we know a lot more about communities of interest. And, so if you live in a watershed, if you live in a school district, if you share interests with your neighbors around those topics. And your elected officials, you know, you should be able to choose who shares your interest with regard to those common issues. And that's the crux of what is representative government. And when we have maps that have been drawn for political gain and not for representativeness, we get a different kind of governing that happens. We get a governing that is happening in secret. We get these, you know, I think you mentioned before, Mark, that, you know, it's a kind of a politicalness that is taking over. It's driving more money into our elections. It's creating the impression that our elected officials are not in their seats to represent us, but to represent the interests of their donors, of their parties, of their, you know, influential friends. And so it's a very serious concern that we share with the Fair Maps Coalition and the League of Women Voters.
You know, maybe you can help me and my listeners. You talked about the 2010 census and the maps that came out of 2010 and lessons learned along the way. You know, I think the League was involved in watching the lawsuit that went through that whole process, right? Woodford versus Gill. Maybe you can tell us about that process and what did the League and what did you learn from that whole process?
I think from that whole process, what we were trying to get was a solution to the problem of having gerrymandered maps. Gerrymandered maps, you know, lead to the status quo of not having a truly representative government in place. We have politicians who are picking their voters, not the voters picking their politicians. And so, you know, toward that end, Woodford v. Gill was really about trying to take the partisan gerrymander out of the maps and go back to a constitutionally defined map, which would have contiguous lines. It would keep our municipalities together. It would keep our communities of interest together. So there are defined criteria in the Constitution that tells us how to draw a map. Partisanship is not part of the definition. And so that case, and it was heard by a federal court. Federal court did rule that our maps were unconstitutional. And then things have stalled since then because of a number of different legal hurdles that continue to plague the reality of what we want here in our nation is fair maps. And the, you know, the unfortunate reality is we're oftentimes not getting fair maps because once people are in power, they can manipulate the rules such that they keep that power using partisan data instead of demographic data.
You know, I think you made a very, very important point that I want folks to think about. We had a federal court that heard the evidence, right? And the League was, that was, you were part of that whole process, mm-hmm. right?
Correct.
And if I recall correctly, the court made many, many factual findings and said as a matter of fact, the districts that had been created by the Republicans at that point in time were not only gerrymandered, but so gerrymandered, so rigged that they were unconstitutional.
Correct. And we haven't been able to act on that knowledge yet. And that is, you know, right now, both the coalition and the League of Women Voters is really working toward solutions to this problem of gerrymandering. And keep in mind, in Wisconsin, we have a Republican gerrymander. In our state next door, Illinois, we have a Democratic gerrymander. It's bad no matter how it gets done because it lessens representative government. And what we need are, you know, independently drawn maps. We need to, you know, instill in every citizen the importance of their voice in our democracy. And when you're using a partisan drawn map, that is not necessarily the voice that's going to get heard.
The there are a couple of lawsuits now that have been filed on that. Is the league going to be participating as an amicus or supporting?
We are not in this particular lawsuit at the state Supreme Court, but the law forward who is leading that charge is well-equipped with their plaintiffs to make the case that the partisanship of the existing maps is not healthy for Wisconsin's democracy.
Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. I am here with Deborah Cronmiller, the Executive Director of the League of Women Voters. We'll be back on the other side to talk more. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Excellent stuff. 2 minutes before we come back.
More. Ask you
that.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here on WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM every Monday night from 7 to 8. I'm privileged and honored to have with us tonight Deborah Cronmiller, the Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. We've been talking about the League's work on fair maps and their involvement in the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition. And before we jump into some of the other key items, you know, I have noticed, you know, Michigan is different than Wisconsin. Wisconsin does not have provisions that allow citizens themselves to redistrict. Michigan did, and you know they voted, and they voted for an independent redistricting, and they really it impacted a lot of the partisanship. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I think that, you know, when we have to recognize there are some very significant differences between the states here in the Midwest. And in Michigan, they do have the opportunity to have binding referendum, do things that we cannot do here through citizen initiative in Wisconsin. And I do believe there's some discussion in the Capitol about actually talking aloud, you know, about binding referendum in Wisconsin, which we would be advocates of. In Michigan, they have since they've moved to independent redistricting commission model. They actually have published a report that is a summary of some of their learnings, and we're looking at that report. And you know, educators are looking at that report, and people who have the algorithms in their work scope. But because there are things to learn, not every new solution is necessarily the best solution. You know, years ago, when we first started this initiative, we were very seriously looking at Iowa's model. Well, Iowa's legislature and Wisconsin's legislature aren't parallel. So using a model that comes from Iowa or comes from Michigan or comes from any other state will not be the right solution for Wisconsin. We need a Wisconsin solution to our districting problem. And it will take work and it will take time and energy, and much of that has already been invested. But we will come up with, I believe, a way to create a commission that can independently draw a map that our legislators will approve and that we can enact to ensure representative government.
Well, I truly, truly support the League's work, and I thank you. And let me just pivot here and turn it over to you in terms of the League's focus on voting rights at this point in time in Wisconsin.
Yes.
What should my listeners know about the League's work and on the issues?
Okay. Voting rights is a big set of objectives for the League of Women Voters. We want to defend those rights of every voter. And we want to build the confidence of every voter to be participating in our democracy, to have that knowledge, the candidate knowledge, the how-to knowledge of elections. And then we also want to make sure that the actual nuts and bolts of our election administration is done as well as can be done in Wisconsin, which means that we're going to stand up a core of observers every election to be inside of polling places to see if, in fact, the instructions that our local elections administrators are using, some of it coming from statute, some of it coming from WEC, that those instructions are meeting the needs of the voters around the state. We make recommendations after every election to the WEC about how they might tweak guidance, how they might change processes. You know, WEC just adopted a new absentee ballot envelope, a certificate envelope coloring system, and they made the actual certificate itself easier for voters to use. These are wonderful implementations of recommendations that we have made, because that voting envelope was a lot of small print, a lot of where do I put my information? You know, a lot of voters questioned how to use it. And I think that, you know, having an organization in Wisconsin that is responsive to voters and responsive to advocacy organizations like the Leagues and our recommendations. We have partners in the Disability Vote Coalition that highly prioritize access for all voters, not just voters who can walk into a polling place, but all voters, a voter with visual impairments, a voter with other disabilities, a voter who can't leave their vehicle and needs to vote curbside. We have guidance on all of this. Now it's about monitoring and ensuring that all our polling places are using that good guidance to make sure our elections are accessible and safe and fair for every voter.
Thank you for that. You know, just we have a couple minutes left here. Just on the ground level around the state, do you see the league growing in membership? Do you see increased curiosity about voting, increased willingness to participate? How do you read the feeling on the ground?
Optimistic. I do think our membership is growing. That's a good sign. That is not the case in all states across the nation for the league. It is that here in Wisconsin, the league is a very visible organization. The league is seen as a respected source of information. And so people do come to us to be a part of that initiative of really defending our voting rights and getting information into the hands of the voters. You know, we've got a lot of record with regard to helping to turn out voters. And what we've seen in the last couple of election cycles is, you know, record turnout among young voters and record turnout, you know, near record turnout for all voters in some elections of late. And that's always our hope. I mean, I'm not going to stop until everyone who's an eligible voter is voting. And that's my end game. So it's quite important to get the word out and to be as active as we are.
So in 10 seconds, how do people contact you? How do they get involved with the league? What do they do?
Yeah, I would go first to our website, lwvwi.org, and all the information about the organization, our initiatives, how to join, many webinars, all of that is available to everybody.
Folks, you heard it here. The Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, Deborah Cronmiller, thank you so much for being here. I look forward to having you back, and thanks for keeping Wisconsin moving forward. That's all, folks.
Thank you, Mark.